Hi, everybody. Good morning. Ready for this beautiful passage of Scripture? Psalm 147:16 says, He gives snow like wool, and He scatters frost like ashes. That's a beautiful, beautiful Scripture. It's actually my daughter drew it up, and it's on our refrigerator right now. It's absolutely relevant. It's beautiful. Absolutely. It's God's best creation, part of His creation, except you and I. Good morning. Amen. Amen. Hey, we are beginning a new sermon series this morning. Nick, you can throw that up. It's called The Journey of Faith. You ready? What we're going to do over the next few weeks is we are going to take a journey of faith together. And we're going to look at the different kinds of terrain that our faith journey takes, and we're going to walk through it together. How many of you know that to follow Christ is to set out on a journey of faith? Right? If you're going to follow Christ, man, you are setting out on a journey that is unpredictable. You don't know where you're going. You're just going. Right? You don't know where you're going, but you just go without knowing. And this journey of faith, it travels through all kinds of different terrain. The scenery is constantly changing on this journey of faith. And there's a lot of times it'll lead us to places where we would have never even thought we would be or ever want to be for that matter. And so we discover that as the setting and the backdrop of faith is always changing, it requires faith, right? As the setting is always changing on your journey, the backdrop always changing, it requires faith. Isn't that the truth? For this journey that we're on is not an easy journey. And that was never meant to be an easy journey, if you think about it. If we as followers of Christ were called to follow Christ and to walk the same road as Him, we're called to share the same road as Jesus. And Jesus, He wandered around. He didn't have a place to stay. He suffered. He went through pain and agony. We're called to take up the same road as Jesus Christ. So it's not an easy road when we decide to follow Jesus. And we find out that as we set on this journey, as we continue to walk down the road following Christ, we find that it's going to take us down paths that we really never would have thought we'd find ourselves. And that's the kind of journey we're going to take together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 is kind of like a theme verse for this entire series. And it says there, this is this incredibly encouraging word. It says, "For we, the people of God, we live by faith. Not by sight." Right? Our existence, our being, our livelihood, our spiritual lives are lived purely in faith, not by sight. Having the absolute assurance of what is hoped for. Having an absolute certainty and a confident expectation in God. That's how we live our lives. Living by faith, not by sight. We're going to talk about how this journey has to do with a lot of walking. Right? If we use this terminology a lot, that I walk with Jesus, we follow Jesus, we're walking with Him. And it's a theme that we see throughout Scripture where we're walking alongside of God. Our faith is to be walked out each and every day, one step in front of the other, not knowing where we're going without knowing. And so the purpose of the series is to look at the different kind of terrains on this journey of faith and to determine through Scripture how we are to continue on in faith, looking at these different backdrops. And the terrain of faith that we're going to be looking at this morning is the terrain of wandering. And this morning, I've entitled this morning's message, Faith That Wanders. How many of you know that there are times on your journey with Jesus Christ, as you're following Him, that it seems like you're just wandering around? Going in circles, not really having a destination in end. It kind of just feels like you're just going round and round and round. And the only way to describe it is that you're wandering. And one of the things that we have to recognize is that this is a natural part of, is a necessary part of our journey of faith. It's something that we all go through, and it's something that we need to prepare ourselves for. I know that wandering sort of gets some bad publicity. I think it gets a bad knack sometimes. And I think when it gets a bad rap when people refer to wandering, when people are wandering because of the sin and disobedience in their lives. And while that is absolutely true, and there's times when our sin and our disobedience, we turn away from God and we reject God and we go on our own way, that's definitely a case of wandering. But it's not always the case. Wandering in the Bible seems to be a common theme. You look throughout Scripture and you see that the story of God and His people, wandering seems to be a standard part of the journey. And we see throughout Scripture that His people are wandering all the time. But the wandering experience is used to bring about spiritual transformation in their lives. It's used for good and not for bad. I would even go so far as to say that wandering is an absolute necessary part of each and one of our journeys of faith. Every one of us wanders. And I think it's okay to say that. I think it's something that we all know. We all wander. Everybody in this place, we are prone to wandering, aren't we? We're prone to wandering. And I think it takes courage to admit it, that you have not arrived yet, and that you are every single day seeking and pursuing God diligently for His will and His purposes in your life. I haven't arrived there yet, but today I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I don't know how I'm going to get to where He's leading me, but I'm going to walk in faith and not by sight. I think it takes courage to admit that. One biblical scholar referred to the Bible as a wandering text. And he said that the Bible was written by wanderers for wanderers. I thought that was nice. And it was clever. But wandering is this conflicting image that we have in our minds, isn't it? It's on one hand, it seems as it's a vice, right? It's where we take example of the nation of Israel as they wander through the desert. But wandering can be bad, and we see in Scripture the people of God, and they wander as a result of their sin, and they wander as a result of their disobedience. And for 40 years, they're going around in circles in the desert because they failed to see that Yahweh was the one true God. They failed to see that He was the one true God, and they turned their backs on Him, and they went about doing things their own way. And they sought the comfort of the ways of their sinful life that they were previously at. They sought the comfort of their way of slavery. So they began to wander. But we also see in Scripture that wandering at times is actually the very will of God for your life. And that's the type of wandering that I want to focus on today. Wandering that seems to be a necessary part of our journey of faith. Wandering that will happen whether we like it or not. Out of the great Grant Gandalf the Grey once said, anybody know? Not all who wander are lost. Right? And see, that's the point. Like, you can be wandering and be directly where you're supposed to be. You can find yourself in this cycle of feeling stuck spiritually, and you are actually on the right track. And here's the bottom line. It's not a question of if you will wander. It's a matter of how you're going to wander. And like the Israelites, we're all prone and susceptible to getting the danger that is found in the wilderness wandering, in the desert wanderings that I'm going to talk about in just a moment. But I want you to look at this in Hebrews 11, is the faith chapter. And in Hebrews 11, we have this all-star lineup of people of faith, right? And we see descriptions of how awesome they were in faith. And it was by faith that they did this. And by faith, this man did this. And by faith, this woman did this. And if you travel far enough down, you'll see in verse 38 something very interesting here. And it says that of whom they were wandering about in the deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Right here, this is like almost the end description of this all-star lineup of people of faith. It almost includes wandering in the part of their journey. It's as if they were walking by faith, they had to wander at times. And they found themselves in caves, and they found themselves in dens, and in mountains. The Bible was intended for creating a people of God, and it's full of stories of people who are wandering. And when we think about wandering, a lot of times the image that we have that comes with wandering is what? A desert? Do you think of a desert when you think of wandering? I know that when I line up wandering with Scripture, I see it as a desert. But do you ever see how much saving God does in the desert? Do you ever see how much life transformation takes place in His people as they're wandering around in the desert? As the desert is the backdrop setting where it's this dry and dangerous, lonely place, God does a lot of work, a lot of great work in the wilderness. I mean, you can think of people like Abraham and Moses, the nation of Israel. They wandered through the desert. Did you know Paul tells us that he roamed around for 3 years after his conversion? In Galatians 1, Paul says he roamed around the deserts of Arabia for 3 years after his conversion. And then after that, man, he just went into it. He just went off on his mission. I find that very interesting. Jesus was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit, and he left the desert empowered in the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of great work that comes when you are in this place that it feels stuck and you find yourself in a wandering place. And all of these people that I just mentioned were invited by God into the desert for a purpose. They were invited into the desert for a purpose, and that was this: to be with God. So that they could experience Emmanuel, God with me, in the dry, lonely, dangerous places of wandering. More than anything, we see the people of God wandering through the desert, and when they emerge, there's this new sense of identity that has been forged along this journey, right? Because they trusted in God's faithful presence along the way. That when they go into the desert, it's unpredictable, you're unsure of how it's going to be, but they emerge from their desert wilderness, from this wilderness wandering, with this new identity that has been shaped and molded and transformed as they took every step in faith because they trusted in the faithful presence of their God. And it was being with God in that dangerous, dry place that made all the difference. And when you think of a desert, you do think of a place that's dangerous. It's a place that's dry. It's a place where we don't exactly find it easy to walk in the ease of God's grace. Why? Because like the nation of Israel, we're all susceptible to find ourselves in these fundamental problems in desert wandering where we're tempted to turn away from the very one who brought us there. We all are susceptible to this, and that's why wandering can either be a really great place of spiritual growth and development and transformation, or it can be a really bad place where you turn your back on God because you're lonely. It's a dangerous place in the desert. It's lonely, and if we take the image of the nation of Israel, the food doesn't taste so good in the desert, right? Things are different. Things are not as good. We start to miss the comforts of slavery. All the great things that we had when the nation of Israel was in slavery in Egypt, they don't have in the desert right now. They're just in this dry, weary place where they just find themselves going in circles for years on end. And every single one of us are susceptible just like them because we're humanity. We are humans affected by the fall. And so wandering can be a really amazing place if you choose to wander the right way. If you choose to turn towards God and to seek Him diligently, and every step in front of you is a step of faith, rather than turning your back on God and grumbling and complaining that the food isn't so tasty anymore, God. I don't feel your presence strongly here in this desert place. God, I feel like I'm just going around in circles. God, I feel like this is pointless. There's no direction. I'm just running around aimlessly right now, God. Okay, I'm just going to go back to what I feel is comfortable. And we begin to crave the comforts that we had in slavery. And we begin to grumble, we begin to complain, and we even look to other gods to bring us gratification and satisfaction. Wandering is a necessary part of the journey of faith. It's not a matter of if you will ever wander, it's a matter of how you choose to wander. I want us to look at Abraham for just a moment. If you want to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 is where we're going to look this morning. I'm not going to take so much of it. I'm really just going to talk about his story, most of it. But Abraham was very familiar with journeying through the desert. And in Genesis chapter 12, we see God is about to call Abraham and Sarah to himself. He's going to call them out and call them out into his purposes. And here, Abraham and Sarah called to go to the land of Canaan, all right? And we learn later that the land of Canaan is the place where God will establish his people, and it will be the promised land, okay? So here it is in verse 1 of chapter 12. I want you to look at this for a second. Now the Lord said to Abraham, or Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Boom, let's end it right there. Now every single one of us, just look at that for just a minute. Basically, God is saying, all right, Abram and Sarah, I want you to pick up your gear. I want you to uproot your family and just begin to walk. It's a little vague, isn't it? There's no map that God has given them here. God doesn't give them a map. He's not giving them a set destination in front of them. He doesn't list out specifics of this is the path to go. I want you to head north or south or west or east. It says, no, I want you to gather your gear up, uproot your entire family, and just walk. And I will to the land that I will show you. God doesn't even give them a point of direction. There's no specifications here. God is just saying, guys, pick it up and start to walk. Start wandering. And so now Abraham and Sarah, they would have to completely trust the Lord moving forward. Knowing that they heard the call of God. Knowing that God had drawn them and called them into this uncharted territory that they've never been before. And no idea, all that they knew is that the living God spoke to them and called them on a journey. There was a faith requirement that was necessary to set out on this unknown path that God was leading them. They would have to be completely dependent upon the hand of the sovereign God to guide them. Are you with me, church? And so Abraham and Sarah, they pack up their bags and they gather their family and they begin to wander through the desert on this way to the place of promise. And I want you to see something interesting about their journey. Can you put up that picture for me? I want you to take a look at this image right here. Now, in verse 11, it tells us this. I mean, in chapter 11, verse in the last verse, it says that God set them off and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there, and they settled there. Okay, so here's the journey that Abraham and Sarah took. And I want you to see this for a second. They start down here in the bottom right-hand corner of Ur. And God calls them there. He says, all right, pick up your family, gather your stuff, uproot your family, and just walk. And so both of these paths, let's look at the solid line right here. Now, this solid line follows a direct path. Does anybody see that? Can anybody see that? The direct path is called the Euphrates River. All right, now a river is a symbol of safety. It's a symbol of predictability. You want to get somewhere, follow a river, right? It's leading to some destination. And so they begin to travel along, and it's so significant here that the first part of their journey was safe and it was predictable. They had food along this journey. You know, you travel along the Euphrates River, there's constant food. You can set up tent there and you can dwell by the water and you have what you need. It's a place of predictability. It's a place of safety. It's a place where you know you're in good shape. You just walk alongside the river and trust that you're being led somewhere. It's a predictable way of going. But I want you to look at the second part of the journey, from Haran to this land which God was calling them to, right? And so up at the peak here is Haran. That's up at the peak. That's when they settled there for a while. And then here comes the second leg of their journey to all the way down to where they were meant to go in Egypt, to this promised land, right, of Canaan. And I want you to recognize, this is, you see those words under it? It says Arabian Desert, right? So the first leg of their journey is safe. It's predictable. It's following the path of a river. There's food. Oh, everything's good. Everything's well. And then they get to Haran, and they have to settle there. And the second leg of the journey is they have to travel through the Arabian Desert. Now everything changes. Now everything changes. The path right through the desert. The terrain of the journey changed. There was no river for safety. There was no river for predictability. There was no fishing. And the point I want you to grab a hold of this morning is that sometimes the journey of faith we travel runs along the safety and predictability of a river. We can see where we're going. We know how to follow it. But sometimes the path goes away from the river through the danger and the dryness of the desert. In other words, sometimes your path is really clear, and sometimes your path is, you feel like you're utterly lost. Regardless of the terrain that you find yourself in on this journey of faith, church, we must keep walking. We must keep walking, for we are people who live by faith and not by sight. And the Bible is so full of these desert stories where people are wandering around. And you know what we learn in each one of these stories? We learn that God is very near in those times. That God is near in the times of desert wandering, in those dry and unpredictable times. God is Emmanuel. God is with us. But even more than that, God uses these times of desert wandering to shape him, to shape you and to mold you. And what he even does is he begins to reveal himself in new ways that you've never seen him before. Right? And even in the wilderness desert wanderings of the nation of Israel, we see the names of God become revelation. He uses different names for himself in the time of the desert. Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Jehovah Rapha, your restorer, your healer, right? And God shows himself faithful and true in the times of wandering. Take that with you today. That God will show himself faithful and true in your times of wandering. Truth be told, what I've seen in my own life is that we actually grow a lot more in those places when we feel like we're stuck. We do. We grow more in those times when we feel like we're absolutely stuck. As a matter of fact, I believe it's a faulty way of thinking to assume that you're only going to see breakthrough in your life, or you're only going to see spiritual growth when your setting and your backdrop is without problems. And it's all peachy keen. And when you're not feeling stuck, as if that's the time when you're really going to experience God, as if the times when you're not wandering and you're not stuck, that's when I'm really going to sense God moving in my life. But no, the truth is that God travels with them. In each one of the desert wanderings, every time when someone is traveling in the desert, God is very near in those moments. It's not a matter of if you're going to wander. It's a matter of how you choose to wander. The lesson that I've learned in times of wandering is to stop trying to escape where God has you. I learned that lesson early on, and I'm very grateful for it. I'm very grateful for it. Stop trying to escape where God has you right now. God's will for your life is exactly where you are right now. This is a part of the journey right here. This is a part of your faith journey. What your terrain looks like right now is a part of the journey. We are all being led on a journey following Christ Jesus towards God, towards this beautiful, incredible, intimate relationship with God that's headed to his final destination, and it's going to travel through terrain that we are not expecting, and it's going to continue. I don't care how old you are in the Lord or how young you are in the Lord, the terrain is going to continue to change, and there's going to be times of wandering. So wander the right way. Wander the right way. It's essential. Because you'll find yourself blossom in those stuck places. In those places where you never dreamed you would be or never even expect you'd be in the first place. Give yourself to God in the desert. Give yourself to him in that time. There is a lot of good that God demonstrates in our lives when we're wandering. If you wander the right way. If you wander the right way. Trust and look to God to sustain you. Knowing that he is leading you according to his purposes. Amen? Are you encouraged with that? Because we all wander. Every single one of us wander. It's a matter of how you wander. It's a matter of how you wander. Faith is meant to be walked out. So guys, keep walking in faith. Keep walking in faith. Is my wife around? Liz? Is she around? Could you come on up, please, Liz? And just begin to play. Just Liz for right now. That'd be great. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 5:7 again. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Not according to how the setting and the scenery looks right now. It's not like if my scenery is good, God, I'm going to give you all the praise and I'm going to exalt your name because things are going great in my life. No, it is we walk by faith. Even if the scenery is absolutely just nasty, you lift up your praise and your worship to your God, trusting him and walking each and every step by faith, trusting that Jesus Christ is leading you and guiding you by his Spirit, and you are being led somewhere. And it's full of good. Let your faith be growing in this moment. Let your capacity of faith be widened in this moment. We walk by faith, not by sight. Your faith is meant to be walked out. It's a journey. It's not a run. We use that lingo all the time. This is a marathon. I would even say it's a walking marathon. It's one step in front of the other, trusting that the living God is leading you. It's not about forging your own path and saying, you know what, God, you gave me this promise. You said this about my life, so I'm gonna make my way there. And this is the way I'm going to go, God, and I'm expecting you're going to meet me there. No, it's saying, God, whatever you have, I want. If you want me to wander around in this desert, which to me sometimes seems aimless and sometimes seems it's unpredictable, and Father, it's dangerous, and God, I find myself dry and weary, then Lord, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other, and I'm believing in faith that you are with me and that this is not pointless wandering, that this is your will, oh God, and I'm giving you myself today. God, how do you want me to live for you today? I don't know what it's going to look like, but I have faith in you. And there's a right way to walk in faith. And we get that in Galatians 5:6. Paul tells us that when we are to walk, we are to be walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And that is the key. That's something that we can all take away. Whether you find yourself along the river right now in your journey of faith, or you find yourself wandering around in the desert, this is the one thing that we can each and every one of us walk away with and say, this is how what I need to apply into my life. Walking every day by faith, not in sight, and making sure that I am in step with the Holy Spirit. Making sure that I am in step with the Holy Spirit. That's how each and every one of us are to wander. Taking each step with the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, you know what happens? Even though you may find yourself just kind of doing circles in the desert, and it doesn't seem like you're getting anywhere, when you choose to walk in faith, not by sight, not by what you can see, but you choose to walk by faith and in step with the Spirit, if you do that, then you're able to keep walking this unpredictable terrain of faith. Why? Because you know that God is with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. His Spirit travels with you every step of the way. And you can have encouragement and you can have hope this morning that He walks with us. And like Abraham and Sarah, there's going to be times when our journey is running alongside the river and it's a clear and mapped out path. You just stay close to the river. There's not much thinking involved. It's safe. It's predictable. The way seems clear. And then there are times of the journey when it's not so clear. You find yourself wandering around. But sometimes we just have to walk through the desert in faith to the land that God is going to show us. Amen? To the land that God is going to show us. And in those times when the river is not beside you, you can have faith and hope because you're walking in the Spirit. It's not a matter of if you're going to wander. It's a matter of how you're going to wander. It's the way you walk. It's the way you step. And when you walk in the Spirit, not knowing where you're going, I love that. In Hebrews chapter 13, the writer of Hebrews says they go without knowing. I love that. Go without knowing. And so when you walk in the Spirit, church, when you're walking in step with the Holy Spirit, not knowing where you're going, you are then able to let go of the destination as if that is the end-all, be-all. But then you are able to grab a hold of the sovereign guiding hand of God and say, God, take me where it is that you want me to go. When you walk by faith and not by sight, and you're in step with the Holy Spirit, it is at that point that you're able to let go of the destination that you so desperately want to see. And then you are able to say, God, I'm just going to take your hand right now, and I trust you. You are going to lead me exactly where you have me. You are with me in this moment. And God, I'm submitting myself to you in this time. I'm surrendering myself to you in this dry, wandering time. And God, I want you to do a work in me like never before. I believe that you are near to me right now, and I desire to know you like I don't know you yet. Let this be a time, God, where you and I grow closer together. Let it be a time where you are shaping my identity and forging who I'm supposed to be, the person that you saw before the foundations of the world, when you created me. God, let these times of wandering around be a time where you are forging me into that person. Church, let go of the destination. Let go of the destination. Just grab hold of His sovereign hand and trust Him. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are called by God to walk in step with the Spirit, walking the way that He wants us to walk, not forging our own path. And if you do that, you're able to keep going without knowing. So church, keep walking. Keep advancing. For you are headed somewhere. Today is not the destination. It's just a plot on your journey path. So keep moving forward in confidence and assurance that God is leading you exactly where He intends to lead you. Amen? Can I ask you to stand with me? And we're just going to respond to this message in prayer. Just bow your heads in this time. Close your eyes. And let this just be a moment with you and God. I don't know where each and every one of you are. But what I do know is that each and every one of us are on the journey of faith. The scenery of each and every one of our journeys looks different right now. The terrain is different. Some of you will find yourself right now in your journey with God. And you're walking along the river. And it seems safe. It seems predictable. It seems like, man, yeah, okay, God, this is great. But maybe I'm not guessing. I know that there's people right now who find themselves in their journey with God, and the terrain of this journey of faith is dry and it's weary and it's unpredictable. So I just believe that the Holy Spirit right now is in this room and He's speaking to each and every one of us to respond the right way, not to respond in the early days of the nation of Israel when they turned their backs on God and they sought comfort from their old ways of slavery. But that we would be people like Paul, Jesus, David. When they wandered, they seeked after the Lord. They ran towards Him. They walked with Him and they trusted that He was with them in that moment. So Lord God, in this moment, You have Your people standing before You, a new day, a new year. And every single one of us, Lord God, are on this journey of faith that You have called us on. And God, we know it's not always an easy journey, but we do know that this journey is going to end in the most glorious fashion that we could even begin to imagine with our minds. And Lord, I thank You for our times of wandering. Thank You, Lord God, that wandering is a part of the journey of faith, that we have to go through these times in which we are desperately in need of You to guide us, because we can't do it on our own, God. When we try it on our own, we go the opposite way. We wander the wrong way. God, in this moment right now, I pray that You would teach us, that You would encourage us, that You would strengthen our hearts with Your grace, Lord God Almighty, so that we will wander the right way. And that we will walk each and every day through faith, not looking at the way things look, not determined by the way things are in our lives, but Lord, determined by who You say we are and who You say our future is and what You say our future is. And God, I pray that we will walk in faith that way. In step with You, Holy Spirit. Lead us, guide us. I thank You that You are a comforter. I thank You, Lord God. Holy Spirit, You are the one that guides us in the path of Christ, that You lead us in the way everlasting, that You lead us in the way of Jesus, and that You remind us of all the things that Jesus taught. I thank You, Holy Spirit, for being my close personal friend that travels with me each and every day of my life. I thank You, God, that You have not left us on this journey to walk by ourselves, but You have left us with the most precious gift of Your Spirit each and every day. So God, we make a determination in our hearts today before You that if we are wandering, we are going to wander in step with You, Holy Spirit. In step with You. That we're going to let go of the destination and God, grab a hold of Your awesome sovereign hand and trust You that You are leading us in the destination. I praise You. I thank You for Your goodness. Lord, I thank You for every single person in this room right now who has given You their heart, who is on this journey walking. God, I pray for strength in their spirits this morning. I pray for a new sense of revelation in this time of wandering. God, I even pray for times of oasis like you You brought the nation of Israel to Elam, where there's just water, and it was an oasis of refreshment and replenishment, God. I pray that you bring us to those places as well. I thank you, God, that everything we need is found in you. All that we need, God, to walk this journey of faith is found in your hands, in your provision, and in your love, and in your grace. And so, God, as your people today, we commit ourselves to this journey for your sake, for your name. And so, Lord God, we ask you to forge within us your nature and your character as we walk each and every day by faith. We pray this in your Son's precious and holy name.